Let's check in with the Mackinac Center's Director of Fiscal Policy, Michael LaFave, who's on the other end of our line. Hello, Michael.
Good morning, Frank.
Good of you to join us. You know, I mentioned to our news boss, Dick Hafner, a little bit earlier, the one thing that was missing to me in all the reporting about the governor's budget proposal yesterday, and I was finally able to find it, although it's not plastered all over at the top of every headline, is the total spending package. She is proposing that we spend in this budget $1 billion, which is anywhere from a 4.1 to a 9.5% increase in spending, depending what numbers you're using.
Yes, sir. We calculated a 4.7% increase ourselves based on adjusted gross spending. So while the economy gets smaller, she wants to enlarge the state as measured by the budget by a whopping 4.7%.
So she's spending $2.1 billion more. She wants to spend $2.1 billion more than she did in the last budget.
That's her goal, and we have noted at the Mackinac Center that Michigan, this is happening while Michigan's per capita personal income as a percent of the nation has been declining precipitously. We're getting poorer every year here in the state. Our incomes are 13.1% below the national average, and now they want to take even more from us.
What about the state's tax revenue? Hasn't that gone down as well?
It has gone down in the past, but it's been kicked up again. Just 2 years ago, they passed a $1.4 billion tax increase and promised us that it would put the state on firmer fiscal footing, and as you've noted, other tax hikes wouldn't be necessary.
Yeah, and they said it included structural reforms that would make sure we wouldn't have to raise taxes.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we have said that we cannot let Lansing do this to us again without the type of major government restructuring taking place first. It's sort of a, you know, fool us once, shame on you, fool us twice, shame on me.
Yeah. And now the Mackinac Center also pointed out 38 other states have had greater revenue decreases than Michigan has had.
That's correct. In our blog, we actually pointed out that our tax system is already juiced up. The state's tax revenue from 08 to 09 decreased 9%, while the national average decreased by 13%. And as you've said, 38 other states have greater revenue losses than Michigan. So our system works. It generates the revenue, especially relative to our sister states. Unfortunately, they want to take as much as $554 million more next year.
So this would appear to be a spending problem.
It is a spending problem, and that's what we've recognized for years. And we've also recommended solutions to these spending problems. She wants to raise $554 million next year. We've recommended a solution that would save $557 million next year if you just reformed the health care benefits that government employees receive.
Well, even the business leaders for Michigan, who put forth their own plan for the state and for its finances, the Michigan Turnaround Plan, certain elements of that plan have been included in what the governor has proposed. But Doug Rothwell put out a statement, or the Michigan business leaders did, saying that this proposal represents a meaningful step in the right direction, the governor's budget, but doesn't go far enough to put the state on a stable, long-term financial footing. It continues to rely on federal stimulus funding that is likely to evaporate by next year.
And that's a great point on Doug's part. $400 million is going to be used from the stimulus money to close this particular budget deficit. So it doesn't really sound like great structural reform. The structural reform we recommended have been solely cuts, and even far deeper than the governor, you know, has even considered this year. And she did put some forward, which we appreciate. But like Doug said, it's just a start.
Which cuts did you like? Proposed cuts.
Well, of course, I like the elimination of the business tax surcharge. She's recommended some cuts to the community health budget that probably fall in line with something the Mackinac Center recommended a while ago. No lifetime health care for lawmakers, and altering state pensions modestly, including there's also the other cut of rescinding the pay hike promised of 3% to the non-union members of the state workforce.
You know, I keep getting emails from state workers and their families, though, that go, look, we have taken cuts in salary and in benefits. Teachers, policemen, government employees have all done this. How much do you want to take from us?
Well, I would argue that their compensation is far skewed too high relative to the people who pay their bills, and there's plenty of evidence out there. We've done an anecdotal analysis, and other people have done empirical analyses. Their health care benefits are really the key to the compensation differentials. Even if you do apples-to-apples comparisons, state employees do much better than those of us who pay their bills.
How much better? Do we have the number? I caught you. I know you didn't have it in front of you, probably.
I don't have it in front of me, but you know, even if we allowed them to keep a compensation package, non-cash compensation package, that is still a lot higher than the average received by the private sector, we could save $557 million next year by just reducing the value of it, and those savings would grow to $32 billion by 2021.
Michael, appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Frank. Thanks
Michael
for having
Lefebvre
me.
Michael from the Mackinac Center of the, he is the Fiscal Policy Director at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy.